Tammuz were worshipped by the ancient Moabites under the names Chemosh and Molech. We see that the names changed, but the worship remained identical. The ancient Moabites would celebrate a public child mass, a public child sacrifice during the winter solstice during December 25th. Building up to this most anticipated time of year, all the parents would compile long wish lists that they would like to see in the next year. Then they would bring the infants that were born within that year to the idol Chemosh or Molech. The priest of Chemosh or Molech would stoke large fires inside of the hollow metal idol of the deity. The parent would bring their child screaming to the lap of this deity and lay their child in the lap of Molech, who wore the Phrygian cap that we see that Santa Claus wears to this day, the same cap that Mithra wore. And they would lay their screaming child in the arm of this deity while they begin to profess their long list of desires for the year. Now today we don't see that people are sacrificing their children to Molech, but we do see that they bring their screaming infants, their screaming children, and lay them into the lap of a complete stranger dressed up like a mighty one who they call Santa Claus. And this child is usually screaming their guts out because they're so afraid of this man, and they probably sense the darkness and the demonic forces that are at work. Children, infants, hate Santa Claus, and the proof is in the pictures. Now, of course, after a few years, the child will begin to love Santa Claus and look at Santa Claus as an all-supreme, all-wise, all-knowing, giving deity of prosperity, just as the ancient Moabites looked at Molech and Chemosh. He knows when you are sleeping, and he knows when you are awake. In fact, he is all-knowing. He is immortal. He has no beginning and no end. He compiles a list of names on a scroll for the good and the bad children. He rewards the good children with gifts, and he punishes the bad children with lumps of coal reminiscent of the flames of Molech. He answers their prayers and their petitions. He flies on a magical chariot, just like Mithra, Sol Invictus, and Odin before him. In fact, he is a deity of prosperity worshipped by the people of the world. And it's amazing that Christian parents would put this idol, this image, against the face of Yahuwah and teach their children that gifts come from this magical, all-knowing being, making him a deity. And they will lie to their children and tell them that he exists. And while they're young, they will believe it with all of their heart, until finally they are crushed under the realization that their parents had tricked them. And now they will question everything that their parents will ever teach them about the scriptures because of this innocent white lie, as they say. Santa and his elves have a very dark past. Santa is identified as an elf in most of the world. The Celts believe that the elves were witches and wizards, and they were identified by their pointy or Phrygian caps, and they were the teachers of the dark arts. Webster's Dictionary describes an elf as a wandering spirit, a fairy, a hobgoblin, an imaginary being which our rude ancestors supposed to inhabit unfrequented places and in various ways to affect mankind. Also, an evil spirit or a devil. Satanist and New Age guru H.P. Blavatsky states that elves are disembodied spirits used in magic and sorcery and are the principal agents in seances. In places like Austria, Hungary, Germany, Italy, and elsewhere, Santa Claus is identified by his original name, which is Sinterklaas. And there are variations of Sinterklaas throughout Europe. Some variations have Sinterklaas riding on a magical flying goat. Other versions have him riding on a magical flying white horse. Either way, he is always accompanied by dark helpers. Usually, they are referred to as the Krampus. And the Krampus is a half goat, half man demon that goes with Sinterklaas from house to house. In the 1500s, Sinterklaas became a kind old man who gave gifts and flew on his magical chariot and was accompanied by these dark helpers or blackjacks. He was Christianized as a saint by the name of Nicholas, supposedly based on the Saint of Myra in Turkey, who was legendary. He would leave gifts under the sacred tree on his birthday if you had been good, but if you had not, his demons, his Krampuses, would either abduct you or beat you with sticks. Saint Nicholas supposedly captured Satan and called him by various names: the Krampus, Baalzebub, Zwartdijk, or the Black Peter, and Nekruprik. And these were just some of the names. In some of the cultures, Sinterklaas was dropped altogether, and the only remaining figure was the Krampus, which was kept and known as Weihnachtsmann, which means Santa Claus in the Germanic languages. In other words, in some cultures, Santa Claus is known to be Satan himself, who is the Krampus. Now let us look at some clips of Sinterklaas in Europe. But be warned, some of these images may be disturbing.
Nikolaus, bringe Glück und Segen in dieses Haus. Die Braten, die werde ich heute belohnen. Und falls doch jemand schlimm war, für den hätte ich die Krampusse mitgebracht. Aber Ruhe, Krampusse.
Are the satanic origins of the anglo-sized Santa Claus, who is Sinterklaas, and his elves, the goat-headed demons. And this is important to understand because the goat-headed mighty one is worshipped in the religion of Satanism and in pagan worship by the name Baphomet. He is also called the horned one or the stag deity. Sometimes he is depicted with the horns of the goat, and sometimes he is depicted with the horns of the reindeer. In the 1970s, the Second Vatican Council stated that no Roman Catholic bishop by the name of Saint Nicholas ever existed. This is historical because people will often say, well, Saint Nicholas was a real person, but the Second Vatican Council states no such person ever existed. They go on to state that the legends attributed to Saint Nicholas had no Christian origin and probably came from pagan traditions. So therefore, the character known as Saint Nicholas is a myth. He is nothing more than a pagan deity who has been revamped and Christianized, just like Christianity has Christianized Christmas. The Oxford English Dictionary states the devil is called Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, and even in popular rustic speech, he is called Old Nick.
Way up north where the air gets cold, there's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told, and a real famous cat all dressed up in red, and he spends the whole year working out in his sled. It's the little Saint Nick,
little Saint Nick.
It's the little Saint Nick,
little Saint Nick.
The Concise Dictionary of English Etymology also agrees that Nick is the devil. Old Nick was a well-known British name for Satan. The Greek name Nicholas means the conqueror of the people. Revelation chapter 2 verse 15 reads, "So you also have those who adhere to the teaching of the Nicolaites or the Nicolaitans, which teaching I hate." The teaching of the Nicolaites came from their teacher Nicholas, who taught them that it was okay to eat food sacrificed to idols and to commit whoring to make the children of Israel stumble. This is most likely the origin of the saint called Nicholas of the Roman Catholic Church. In the 1600s, a series of plays were developed starring a character known as Robin Goodfellow, who was a half-man, half-goat demon. In The History of a Hobgoblin, author Alan W. Wright reveals that Robin itself was a medieval name for the devil, and that Robin's trademark laugh was ho, ho, ho. During the 1600s, this goat-headed devil had already revealed the trademark laugh that Santa Claus would later take on.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Ho, ho, ho.
In Scandinavia, the winter festival was Yule. In the Chaldean language, Yule means the infant, the child, referring to the baby Tammuz. Apparently, the Scandinavians borrowed the term for their winter festival. On December 21st, Odin, who was the chief deity, would fly through the night on his eight-legged horse, which would symbolize the eight reindeer of Santa Claus. Odin was represented as an ancient man with a long white beard. His idols portray him with a pointy hat, like the elves and Santa Claus wear. People feared the wrath of Odin, who had come to take the spirits of the dead. They would leave treats and grain offerings for Odin and his horse. Spirits would roam freely during this time of the year, and the worshippers would try to communicate with these spirits. Evergreen trees would be brought inside to represent eternal life and the conquering of death of the sun deity. Mistletoe was revered by the Druids. Mistletoe has no roots in the ground. Therefore, it is seen as a gift from the heavens. On the sixth day of the moon, the Druids would cut the sacred mistletoe with a golden sickle, which was caught with sheets by priests beneath and not to be touched with human hands. Germanics believed that all who passed beneath a mistletoe were kissed by Freya, the goddess of fertility, and were blessed with sexual powers. During this time of the year, it is believed that the horned deity, the stag deity, would return to the earth, who is symbolized as Pan in the ancient Greco-Roman pantheon. In Scandinavia today, the Santa is still a goblin, and this is seen as the dark time of the year. To celebrate Yule, one must deck the halls with boughs of holly and bring evergreens into the home. And they had to bring a large log into the home that they would burn for 12 days. This is where the 12 days of Christmas comes from. It had to be kindled with a piece of the log that came from the year before. And this was to keep the ancestral spirits happy, who were believed to live within the fire. Therefore, the fire was kept burning with offerings of food and sacrifice. Originally, the sacrifice was made of humans and animals. The World Book Encyclopedia states, the belief that Santa comes down through the chimney developed from an old Norse legend. The Norse believed that the goddess Hertha appeared in the fireplace and brought good luck to the home. It continues that Druids worshipped a deity named Hertha. Druid homeowners would leave a treat consisting of milk and pastries to appease this deity that came down into their chimney, into their fireplace. And this is where the idea of leaving milk and cookies out for Santa Claus originates.
A deranged face with bloodshot eyes, large horns, fangs and a long tongue. He's covered in fur and is gigantic in scale. He is everything has its opposite. Good has its evil. Light has its shadow. Nice has its naughty, and Saint Nicholas has Krampus. Typically described as a half goat, half demon creature, it's easy to compare Krampus to, or even mistake him for, the devil. Because the two figures bear such a striking resemblance, the Catholic Church tried to eliminate Krampus celebrations during the 12th century. This attempt was unsuccessful, and the tradition continued. His image alone ought to be horrifying enough to keep naughty kids in line. But those who dare challenge Krampus, as the legend suggests, would endure an extreme punishment of being beaten with birch twigs, kidnapped and taken back to his lair, tortured, and even eaten. Krampus's pre-Germanic origins are unrelated to Christmas, and is thought to have initially been a part of pagan rituals practiced for winter solstice. He later became associated with Christmas, which, as mentioned, the Catholic Church tried to ban at one point in time. He is sometimes referred to as the Christmas Devil. While his true origins are unknown, the myth of Krampus has roots in what is now considered Germany, where traditionally, people began celebrating Christmas earlier in the month. The name Krampus comes from the word Krampen, which is German for claw. In Germanic tradition, Saint Nicholas is a benevolent figure who gives sweets to good children, while Krampus, his malevolent counterpart, beat and kidnapped the bad children. In essence, their origin story recounts how Saint Nicholas and Krampus traveled together working as a team, rather than opposing forces, one bearing rewards while the other brought fear and punishment. The good and the bad duo would arrive in tandem on December 5th, which is known as Krampusnacht, which translates to Krampus Night. They'd go door to door, and either Saint Nick would leave presents for the good children, or Krampus would beat the naughty ones with sticks and branches. In some lore, he might even eat them or take them to the underworld. Once Krampus was done with his mischief, the Germanic people will then celebrate Nikolaustag, or Saint Nicholas Day, on December 6th. The children who, through good behavior, managed to avoid Krampus, or those who were once naughty and survived his punishments, would awaken to gifts which could range from something totally awesome to a rod, a gesture designating good or poor behavior. Krampus uses his force to discourage people from naughtiness and as a means of deterring children from bad behavior. According to Krampus Los Angeles director Al Ridenour, Krampus is a boogeyman associated with the Christmas season. Ridenour explains that Krampus is a species rather than a singular creature. Being that he is the counterpart of Saint Nick, Krampus's birch twig may be in reference to the Dutch legend of St. Nicholas coming back from the dead and then nearly beating a bishop to death with a birch wood, perhaps linking Krampus's role as St. Nicholas's darker counterpart. Krampus is often covered in sheepskins, as well as heavy chains or cowbells. The chains are thought to have been introduced only after Christian influence on the holiday, as a possible representation of attempting to bind the devil. However, the origin is technically unknown, and the chains and bells could have also been a part of a lost pagan ritual, or perhaps adopted elsewhere, as Krampus has been influenced by many other traditions and cultures as well. After 1890, the Austrian postcard industry began to grow after the government released its hold on the industry. Between 1890 and the beginning of World War I, Krampus Christmas cards made by German companies were sold in Austria, Germany, and beyond. They often featured text like Brav sein, be good, and Kuss vom Krampus, greetings from Krampus. Images on the cards often showed crying children being frightened or kidnapped by a terrifying Krampus, among other variations. Cards featuring adults emerged around 1903 and 1904, some depicting them also being punished by Krampus, while others were designed to be funny. There were even cards depicting female versions of Krampus, who were often much more attractive than the male version. They also had a long tongue and horns. Other cards that featured women sometimes showed Krampus courting them or taking them away. Adding adults to the mix may have just been a way to expand the market for the cards. The myth of Krampus diminished after World War II, but returned with a renewed folk culture interest in the 1950s and the 1960s. By the late 20th century, Kampuslauf, or Krampus runs, became increasingly popular in Austria and Germany, as they were seen as a tradition they could enact to help preserve their cultural heritage. Krampus runs often involve alcohol and a parade with people dressed in Krampus costumes, ringing cowbells and scaring and chasing spectators whilst prodding them with sticks. Similar activities were also celebrated in other regions such as the Czech Republic, Hungary, and Slovenia as well. Krampus parades, also called Pürstenlauf or Klaubaufe, stem from a pagan tradition that goes back centuries, where young men dressed in costumes marched the streets for the purposes of eliminating or getting rid of the ghosts of winter. The costumes, often referred to as Pürsten, are named after the devils they resemble. The masks are influenced by the folklore about evil mountain spirits that appear to cause harm in the winter months. In Western Austria, the pagan tradition of dressing up in Pürsten costumes, also called Teufel or Krampus, depending on the region, and taking to the streets to get rid of winter's ghosts, goes back about 1,500 years. In southern Germany's Bavarian area, and in eastern Austria's Alpine area, traditional customs may have included someone dressing up as St. Nicholas, along with a small posse of Krampuses, angels, and a person with gifts to go door-to-door the evening of December 5th. At each door, St. Nicholas asks the children about their behavior, and may also ask the kids to recite their catechism or a seasonal poem, or sing a song while the Krampuses stomped around outside. And if they failed, well, Krampus would go ahead and handle that. American celebrations of Krampus tend to skew more towards the Austrian celebrations for adults that involve drunk men running around in scary costumes. Interestingly, this is not dissimilar to the way Christmas used to be celebrated before the 19th century. According to author Stephen Niesenbaum, Christmas was a holiday that was characterized by boisterous revelry. It was sort of like a combination of Halloween and New Year's Eve and Mardi Gras. These celebrations include mummers, who would demand alcohol door-to-door, which later evolved into trick-or-treating. Krampus also has roots in the story of a battle between St. Nicholas and the devil, but in recent years, some believe that it has become too commercialized. Krampus's recent resurgence in popularity has expanded the Yuletide figure's reach to a comic book series and a movie. There are many versions and variations of Krampus-like figures all around the world, appearing in both male and female forms. In post-Reformation Germany, a secular character known as Pelznickel emerged to combine both the kind qualities of St. Nicholas and the scary qualities of Krampus-like figures. It's believed that German immigrants brought the legend of Pelznickel over with them to America in the 1700s and the 1800s, and the name slowly morphed into Belznickel. Today, Belznickel is a staple of Christmas in Pennsylvania Dutch communities. In Austria and Bavaria, Frau Perkta is described as a woman, some describe her as a witch, who goes around during the 12 days of Christmas rewarding the good and punishing the bad. Her punishments, however, are quite extreme. She's said to cut open the stomachs of naughty children, removing their organs and replacing them with things like stones or hay. Similarly, in Italy, a fairy woman known as La Befana visits children on January 5th, leaving things in children's socks at night. If they're good, they receive candy. If they're bad, they get rocks or charcoal. In Greece, goblin-like creatures known as kalikandroi bring mischief to people's homes during the 12 days of Christmas. They enter through chimneys or doors, and methods of warding them off include a pig's jaw, a black-handled knife, strings of flax, and fire. These are just a few among many others throughout various cultures. Despite his malevolent agenda, his appearance alone is quite intimidating and likely enough to curb bad behavior, at least for some of us. So as winter rolls in year after year, better hope that you're on the nice list and not the naughty one. Unless, of course, you're into that.
God rest ye merry, gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray.
Please, save my boy.
Lady? Hey, wait!
Austria, 1975.
Please!
Tidings of comfort and joy. Comfort and...
Hellboy? Hellboy! Hello! Come in, come in.
Mr. Schulz? Wilhelm Schulz?
Oh, yes. Come in, please. You stay for supper?
Were you expecting me?
Of course. But please sit. Help yourself.
No thanks.
This will be about that business at the church the other day.
That's right. Good Lord!
Oh, no, sir. Hardly that.
You scared the crap out of a lot of people.
And made a rather expensive mess, I imagine. I'm sorry about that, but I'd heard you were in the neighborhood and thought it might be the sort of thing to get your attention.
So I'd come to dinner?
You'll have a drink at least. Cheers.
Thanks. Now, apparently, you told Father Mueller that you aren't really human. That, in fact, you claim to be this guy.
It's not a very good likeness. There should be a lot more blood.
Okay, you're gonna have to bear with me. I'm an American. Over there, we've got Santa Claus and the elves. With toys. Over here, you've got St. Nicholas and his monster sidekick, the Krampus. While Nick's handing out the toys, Krampus, that's you, hits the bad kids with sticks and rides them around in a basket. I guess so they'll be good next year.
Next year? No. Once I've had my hands on Jim, they never see another year.
Yeah.
You don't believe me? You need some convincing?
Shit.
Have a look at this little fellow.
Whoa! What the?
Little Gottfried Huber Salzburg. 1872. See how he ended his days.
Mama?
Son of a...
Now you know.
What the hell?
Exactly. Hellfire, smoke, and the pandemonium. Do you remember the place? I don't. So I know I was born there. So what crime did I commit to be sent here? This cold world is prison. What could I have done to this day. You have been here barely a minute, while I have endured hundreds and hundreds of years. Krampus they named me, and Krampus I have been. Long enough. I am tired of it. Kill me and send me home.
Okay.
Not with that. That's a man toy. I am a prince of hell. Kill me with your hand. Do it now.
Oh, yeah. Boom.
Yes, kill me. Kill me.
Jeez, I'm working on it. Give me a...
Kill me. Kill me.
Working on it.
Where am I?
Please, I didn't do it. It wasn't me.
I'm sorry. I'm good. I promise.
Help me.
Please.
I'm doing the best I can. You guys just...
He's just so tired. Help him. Use this.
Ow!
Yeah.
How did you get that?
It's a mystery, pal. Merry Christmas. Now what?
Thank you, brother.
I don't think so. What's that noise?
Bones. His house is full of bones.
Three last day. Wait. What's happening? Something's wrong. Something's...
Well, that was something.
72 hours later, BPRD headquarters, Fairfield, Connecticut, Christmas Day.
Well, I wonder what old Harry Middleton will think of this. I'll have to call him in the morning.
For years, he's maintained that the Krampus was actually the demon goat of the witch's Sabbath, done up in a fancy dress for the holidays. And I've argued that it was just a slightly nastier variation on the Scandinavian Yule goat.
Yule goat?
Yule goat. Julepukki. The pre-Christian goat man version of Father Christmas. But I don't think either Harry or I ever considered that there might be an actual goat involved.
And not just a regular goat, but a magic talking goat who, somewhere along the line forgot he was a goat. Started thinking he was a prince from hell. And when he got tired of doing horrible things to kids, he wanted to go back to hell. Except he was just a goat.
Who can say, my boy, who can say?
That's a pretty weird story for Christmas.
There must always be ghost stories at Christmas, Elizabeth. And you, thanks to you, those poor children will finally receive a proper burial and rest in peace.
And that thing, too. Whatever it was.
The end. Christmas 1946. I got a lobster Johnson Dakota.
Christmas 1995.
The year Abe got drunk.
Alice